Okay, don't worry. So, it's St. Matthew's Day today. Did you know that? Isn't that good? I'm like a good Anglican. And, you know, what I thought we'd do is, because it's St. Matthew's Day, we'd give Chris, our vicar, a present. Isn't that a nice thing to do? And because he's such a good Anglican, what we'd thought we'd give him is a Peruvian stole for all the times he wears his things, you know.
This is the second time I've been stitched up over a stole, but there isn't time for me to tell the other story. Thank you, everybody.
Pleasure. That's from Helen. Okay, so I've been on a bit of a journey this year. Want to share it with you because it's radically changed my life. So, lock in. Basically, we are looking at discipleship, growing deep in God, growing our roots in God. And for a lot of my Christian life, I struggled with the whole idea of growing in God. You know, I had this idea that God was out there and I was here. And the way to get into the presence of God was to read my Bible every day and to pray really, really hard. So, that was great on good days when I got up early and read my Bible. It was good when my prayer life was going really well. It was good when, well, it wasn't good, but I kind of felt weirdly good if I did a fast. Crikey. That was big points, you know, because obviously God is closer to those who fast. But it wasn't so good on the days I got up late, which were progressively getting more and more. It wasn't so good if I was busy and I had a bit of a stressful day. Because God doesn't go near stressful people. And I'm joking. And if I was in the middle of a fast, but then there was the smell of pizza coming from next door, and I broke, that was not good either. The thing was, being close to God was such hard work. You know? It's good when you're doing well. But, and let's be honest here, for the majority of our lives, we don't feel like we're doing very well. We don't feel like we're reading our Bible enough. We don't feel like we're praying enough. And we definitely don't feel that we're fasting enough. Praise God. So there was a struggle. It was a struggle. But the thing was, it was all about me. It was all about what I had to do, the amount of effort I had to put into my relationship with God. And it seemed the equation was the more effort you put in, the closer you are to God. But I've had a bit of a shift of thinking in the last year. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There needed to be a little bit of a shift in my thinking because actually what I was thinking wasn't the gospel. What I was thinking wasn't the gospel. Because the thing is, Bible reading, now bear with me, I will put this in context, but Bible reading doesn't get you closer to God. Praying doesn't get you closer to God. Fasting doesn't get you closer to God. Please don't stone me. Okay. What gets you closer to God, are you ready for the big reveal, is that the cross. 2,000 years ago, Jesus permanently united himself to you. Job done. Hebrews says there is now a rest for the people of God. We get to rest in the finished work of the cross. I've got good news for you this morning. You can't get any closer to God than you already are. What did we read this morning? The mystery that's been hidden throughout the ages has now been revealed to the saints. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What did Jesus do on that cross? He united us to him. Forever, permanently. Let's just read. Let's go for the next slide. A little bit of scripture. This is Romans 6, 9, 10. For by the death he died to sin, ending his relation to it once and for all. And the life he lives, he is living to God in unbroken fellowship with him. So even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and your relationship to it broken, but alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ. The joy of our salvation is that we are now in unbroken fellowship with God, and it has nothing to do with our effort. It's effortless. So what is the point of Bible reading? What's the point of discipleship? What's the point of praying? And I've been reading a book which I found really helpful on this. And it's just so changed the way I spend time with God. I grow with God. And this is the quotes from a guy called John Crowder. I'm going to read it a little bit longer version of it, but that's the meat of it up on the screen for you. Can one truly get closer to God? Has Christ only brought us part way? Consider the analogy of a vine and a branch. It is impossible for a branch to grow any closer to the vine than it already is. The two are physically connected. There is no breach that is progressively being filled. Now, does the branch continue to grow? Yes. It even flourishes, buds, and bears fruit. But is it growing towards union or because of union? There is forever going to be a glorious exploration and enjoyment of God. You see, my thinking was a bit skewed. I thought I had to read my Bible and pray to get to union, to get to closeness to God. But the reality is that's our starting point because of the cross. We start from the place of union, and Bible reading and discipleship and worship is an exploration of what we already have. It's an exploration of the mystery that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Christianity is a journey of exploration, not a journey of trying to attain. We're not trying to attain closeness to God. We are close to God. And we just get to acknowledge it. We get to explore it, unpack it, open our Christmas presents. There is a rest for the people of God. We get to enjoy him. And for me, it has so changed the way I spend time with God. I'm no longer straining and trying to, oh God, I want to get close to you. Where are you? So often it felt like God was out there and I was waiting for, you know, an encounter of a lifetime. But now I'm living a lifetime of encounter. I know that if I'm having a busy day, if I'm stressed out, he's here. This morning was just so good for me because I had set up the hall on Friday for the bright so I could be in here calm and ready to pray and, you know, speak to you. Got into the hall and someone had packed it away. Wonderful. So right up until the service started, I've been up there. Now, a year ago, I would have been so stressed out because, you know, I need to get in the anointing, you know. I need to pray, you know. But hey, not anymore, because it's nothing to do with my effort. The reality is, I can be up there and the fullness of God is still here. Because that's the gift of God given to us. You're full of Jesus. And it's not your fault. What's that done for me? It's brought something back. It's a little free little word that often goes missing in church. Begins with J, ends with O, a Y, crikey. I do teach your kids. I'm so sorry. Joy. It brought joy back. David prayed, restore to me the joy of my salvation. It's such hard work, isn't it, if it depends on us to be close to God. We're always trying. And that's what I think religion, the law, does. It gets you to work for something that you already have. But the freedom that the gospel declares is that Christ has brought you all the way. You're right in the center of it all. You don't need to work it up. But we've been brought into this place. It says in Song of Solomon, he brought me to his banqueting table. We've been brought and we've been sat down at his table. And in our Bible reading, in our worship, we just get to feast on what Christ has fully provided us with. We don't need to work it up. You can be having a stressful day. You can be changing your baby's nappy. And you can be in the very fullness of God. You can be at work. And you have the mystery of the ages on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our discipleship is a journey of exploring what we already have been lavishly given in Christ. And when we start to understand that, the joy of our salvation is restored. I'm going to finish with a quote from Brother Lawrence. Again, it's a bit longer, but this is the essence of it. He does not ask much of us, merely a thought of him from time to time, a little act of adoration. Sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, at other times to thank him for the graces past and present he has bestowed upon you. In the midst of troubles, to ask solace in him as often as you can, to find solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. And this is the bit that I love. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think. We want to grow deep, don't we? We want to be mature in God, but let me say that the foundation, the starting point, is that we're already there. And we just get to unpack it. There is a rest for the people of God. He finished the work on the cross. There's now no separation. He isn't God out there. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And let me tell you, if you just begin to meditate and think on that reality, it's just so much more fun. I'd love us if we could stand.